But we're going to go in. Are y'all ready to jump in this morning? Well, I got a question for you. So just wondering, did you behave yourself this past week? Some of you are like, no. How was your conduct this past week? If you were here last week, we talked about your conduct. And did anybody get their fast food order messed up or your meal at the restaurant messed up? We talked about how do you respond when your meal order gets messed up? Do you grumble? Do you complain, right? Or do you graciously ask them to make you a new order? So how did you do? Or, okay, let's give you a couple scenarios. When your spouse was getting on you for doing something you didn't do or for not doing something you should have done, what was your conduct like then? Perfect. Mike's like, I passed the test. Or what about, you know those times when you like go to Walmart and you're coming down the back aisle and you're like, oh, there's a spot like second from the front. Then all of a sudden somebody comes around the front and they take your spot. Am I the only one that happens to? Or like there's two lines at the checkout counter, and I'm like, okay, this one looks like it's the quicker line, and I get in that one, and it is twice as long as the one. It's like, without fail, like there's a light that I reach down the road that it's by Caterpillar. Whenever I come to that light, it just automatically turns red. Or like when you're in a hurry, and you get the Decatur train. All right, yeah, experience that. What's your conduct like in those situations? Do you reflect the Lord? What's your character like? Talked about your character when nobody else is around, nobody's looking, the temptation comes. Did you have a moment where the temptation hit you this week? Did you resist the temptation? What about when the thoughts crept in, the things that you know don't honor the Lord? Did you dwell on them or did you cast them aside? Okay, what is your Christian character like? Okay. What about Christian faith? Maybe you're here, you're watching online, you don't have faith in Jesus yet. My prayer is that changes today. But if you are a believer, what's your Christian character like? And also, what about your Christian walk? Remember, we talked about coming to the Lord last week, about coming not with our own agenda, not to try to force God to do our will. But did you come to the Lord this past week to just commune with Him, to just be with Him? Not to say, Lord, do it my way. Should we come to Him with our requests? Yes, He tells us to come with our requests. But are we coming just to try to get Him to do things how we want Him to do them? Or are we coming so that our hearts can be in sync with Him? Did you spend time with the Father this past week to where you just communed with Him, where you just sat with Him? If you're a believer, are you consistent in your Christian walk? Were you consistent in your faith last week? Were you consistent as a believer? This morning, the question is, are you consistent as a church member? Now, I don't mean just regular attendance. That's not what I'm talking about. We'll talk about it a little bit more, what it looks like, but are you a consistent church member? So we're starting this new three-week series. I'm a church member, book by Tom Rainer, and it's a fantastic short read. Again, it's founded on Scripture, but we're talking through what it looks like for us to be biblical church members. And in the book, he starts out with a story of two men by the name of Michael and Liam. So I want to ad-lib the story a little bit just to give you an idea where we're going. So Michael and Liam, two guys about 40 years old, both married, some kids, and they decided to be a part of the church Bible study, a couple of Bible study. And so Michael and Liam, they hit it off at this Bible study, this couple's Bible study, and they found out, hey, we have actually quite a bit in common and built a little bit of a friendship there, and so much so that they're like, hey, you know, we should go out for breakfast sometime. So Michael and Liam, they set a date. They went out for breakfast, and they connected. And they're like, you know what? This is kind of fun. We should do this more often. And so they decided to go out every week, Michael in Liaman, and they would talk about things the guys talk about, their wives and how beautiful and amazing they are and how they have the best wives ever, right? That's what you guys talk about when you get with other guys, right? It got quiet. They talked about, you know, sports, you know, outdoor stuff. They talked about politics, whatever. They just connected. They built a friendship. And over time, that friendship really fostered and developed. But then as time went on, Michael and his wife noticed that Liam in particular, at the couple's Bible studies, he wasn't quite as excited about the Bible studies. He used to be really super excited about, hey, coming in and studying the Word, and I'm really hungry, and I want to grow. But then all of a sudden, he just wasn't quite as excited anymore. And then Michael and Liam went out to breakfast again, their normal breakfast routine, and Michael's like, you know, what's going on? You're just not yourself. And Liam wasn't eating his breakfast. He's usually scarfing it down, and he wasn't really eating it. So Michael's like, hey, Liam, what's going on? And Liam said, just quite frankly, he said, we're leaving the church. Michael's like, why? Why are you leaving the church? Like, what's going on? And he said, you know, we go, and I'm just not getting anything out of the service anymore. I'm just not getting fed. We got a couple guest pastors in our house this morning. Welcome. And those of you who've been pastors, we got several in our congregation. You've never heard that before, right, from people. I'm just not being fed. So Liam said, I just feel like I'm not being fed. I just don't get anything out of pastor's sermons anymore. And, you know, the new worship leader, not really my style. I just don't really get into the worship. And besides, you know, the longer I'm part of this congregation, the more I realize there's just a bunch of hypocrites here. Like, a guy from our church, his son plays basketball with my son, and I went to the game the other day, and the ref made a bad call, and you should have seen Bill with the refs. Like, I was embarrassed, all right? It's like Scott Clarkson yelling at the TV screen. And he said, I was embarrassed that I even knew this guy, let alone knew that he was a part of the church. And I'm like, okay, Christians should not be acting like that. What kind of witness is that? And then, you know, Ron in our men's group, he was talking about some of his struggles that he's dealing with, and that is not Christian behavior. This church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. And he said, Michael, you know, I love you and your family. You know, we respect you guys, but I know that you continue to be engaged, you continue to be involved, and you just love the church, and you're finding fulfillment. But sometimes I just think maybe you have your head in the sand. You just don't understand that the church has its issues, and you just don't get it. He said, it's almost like, you know, we're two different church members. Like, how could that be? And that's really the question that I want to get to the heart of today. How can we have a couple different types of church members? All right, you have the same people attending the same church, experiencing the same things. So how do you have one person that is finding fulfillment, like, I love my church, and another person like, yeah, nah, I'm moving on. So how do you have two different church members? Maybe the better question to ask is, well, what's a biblical church member look like? Yeah, it's not so much what do we think a church member should be, what does the Lord think a church member should be? How should I act if I'm going to be a part of a church family? What does the Lord expect of me? What does the Lord require of me as a church member? That's really the premise for this whole series just over the next couple weeks. But if you want to know what the Bible says, you probably need to do what? Read the Bible. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I understand this is a familiar passage, especially when we talk about the church and our roles in the church. But 1 Corinthians was written by Paul to the church at Corinth. And Let me just say the Corinthians had issues. Liam would not have liked the Corinthian church. He wouldn't have liked them. It's a bunch of hypocrites. And Paul recognized that there's division going on in this church. A bunch of people, they're just kind of focused on themselves. And so Paul's writing to this church that has issues, right? How many of you have issues? All right. Now I know who's prideful and who's humble. All right. The ones who raise their hand, you're humble enough to admit it. Those of you who say you don't have issues, we're talking later. All right. You get free counseling sessions with Pastor Mark. So he wrote to the Corinthians, but as he was talking to the Corinthians, he was talking about really the role of believers within the church. What is a church member's role? And really, the first point that he's making is that God has called us, the biblical church member, God has called us to be functional church members. Functional. Are you functional? Well, we're going to find out. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start out by reading verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. So there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Now, Bible reading tip, as you read the Bible, you need to look for key phrases or key words. If there are phrases or words that are repeated several times, then you need to take note of that. Highlight it, underline it, because there's something specific in there that you need to pay attention to. So if you look at this passage, you see some repetition that it's important for us to draw out. So verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. So if you're a believer, you're a part of the church family, then we all operate through the same Spirit, same Lord, same God, right? I mean, we're all same team, right? That's the way God designed his church to work. Same team, all right? Why are we on the same team? Because we serve the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Now, you ever seen the movie Three Musketeers? There's a couple different renditions. If you've seen Three Musketeers, wave at me. All right, what's the famous quote from Three Musketeers? You remember? All for one, one for all. All for one, one for all. We actually see that here in this passage, but in a little bit of a different way than the Three Musketeers. So Three Musketeers, you know, the whole group for the one for all the group. Man, I got your back, you got my back, we all got each other's backs. And same principle applies here, but I want to shift it just a little bit differently to help you understand the function of the church for us to be a functioning church. So again, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. So let's apply the all for one, one for all. Say, all is all of us, right? Collectively, all of us exist for one, right? That's what we see. Same Lord, same God, same Spirit. So all of us all exist for one. And each one of us exists for all. That's the summary right there. All of us collectively exist for one, for God. And each one of us individually are to serve one another. You get it? Again, all of us collectively exist to serve one God, the same God. Each one of us individually exists to serve one another. Now, what do you not hear in there? You do not hear, well, it's Andy's way or the highway. You don't hear Cam coming in and say, well, this should be done this way, this should be done this way, or Janet saying, y'all got to do it my way or peace out. I'm finding another church and they'll do it my way. We don't see selfishness in that passage. We don't see that the church exists to be servants of ourselves, to where we come and are like, hey, I'm making my list. This is what I want. You know, you ever have one of those lists before you find your spouse or whatever, your ideal list? This is what I want in a significant other. All right? My wife will tell you she made a list. I didn't make a list. She made a list, and I fulfilled all the items on that 20-item list except for one. I think I didn't play a musical instrument or something like that. So give me a harmonica, I'll pretend. All right. So sometimes we're like, okay, I want to make this list of, okay, this church needs to have this. Almost kind of like we're home shopping. You ever do that when you're, okay, these are the non-negotiables. And so obviously the church that you go to needs to have the Word of God as the center, right? We've got foundational things, okay? It's got to be about we're preaching Jesus, we're not preaching ourselves. But we got to understand God's design for the church, for us to be a functional church, is for us not to be a self-centered church. You know, one of the things that we pray at the beginning of all of our elder meetings is, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. It's not about my will. It's not about my preferences. It's ultimately, God, what do you want? But how many times do we get that messed up where we come into a church, what do I want? And is the pastor meeting my expectations? Are these people meeting my expectations? Oh, nope. Well, forget it. I'm going to another church that will cater to what I want. I don't know about you, but I don't see that here. What I see is all of us collectively exist not for one, right? But for one. And each of us individually are to serve not ourselves, but one another. So a functional church, for us to be a functional church, we have to exist for the Lord and for each other. And that means that we go to the bottom of the list, right? So I'm doing these little financial jars with my kids to try to teach them how to do well with money. And we have the joy jars. First money goes to Jesus. The others is obligations or others. They don't have a lot of obligations, so it goes toward others. And then the third one is you, right? Needs to be the same way with us as the church. It's Jesus, others, and then me. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. About what the Lord has for me to serve others. It's about serving others. The book, Tom Rainer, he talks about a country club. And he talks about when he was a kid or whatever, his community got a new country club. And he said, I learned about the perks that come with a country club. The way that a country club works is you pay your dues, you pay your membership, and then you get the perks, right? You get the membership. You pay your country club dues, and then you can utilize the facilities, you can utilize the swimming pool, you can use the area for birthday parties or whatever, you can golf on the golf course. And so you pay your money, and then you get the service. But what happens is a lot of times in our world as church people, we think the church operates the same way. The church is a country club. You know what? I come in, I put some money in the offering plate. That entitles me to get whatever I want, and everybody needs to cater to what I want. That's not how God designed his church to work. All right? putting some money in the offering plate does not entitle me to anything. Putting money in the offering plate is me being obedient and serving the Lord, right? It's not, well, Pastor, I am a tithing member. If you don't start doing what I want, then I'm going to withhold my tither. I'm going to leave the church. You laugh, but that happens. We got a lot of pastors in this room today, and they'll tell you what happens. Or, oh, I've been a member of this church for 30 years. Young man, how old are you? 43. How old? I think I'm 43. Am I 43? I think I'm 43. Well, I've been going to this church longer than you've been alive. So that entitles me to do whatever I want. When I want your opinion, Pastor, I'll ask for it, and I haven't asked for it. So I'm just going to do whatever I want. We treat the church like a country club when we come thinking that we're entitled. But that's not the way the Lord designed his church to work. How do you know if you're a country club member or you're a functional member? Well, if you're coming in, you're like, people are greeting you, making you feel welcome, but you're like, nobody said they missed me last week. Now, do we want to care for one another? Yeah, absolutely. Do we want to be hospitable? Yeah, absolutely. But what you're leaving out is that you only attend once a month, so how is everybody supposed to know that last week was the week that you were supposed to attend? Or you come in and you're like, oh, that worship, that's too loud. Or that song's too fast, or that song's too slow. Or, I don't do hymns, that's old music. Or you're like, I don't like this new worship stuff. I want my hymns. And then we come in, we take up a special offering. You're like, well, you're charging me tax on my dues now that I already give you my regular tithes. Now you want something else? You increased my country club membership. What's up with that? Don't I give enough around here? And then Pastor preached, well, I'm sorry, Pastor. Right? And then the pastor likes Ohio State. What's up with that? And you're like, okay, Pastor, well, I've heard that message before. Well, if you read the Bible, you probably heard it before. Right? Well, I don't know. I just want you to give me something new. And we come in with this mindset of feed me, right? I'm not getting fed. What you're saying is, I'm not getting enough of what I want. When's the last time you checked and said, okay, when I'm coming in, is my heart coming in a way to where I realize I'm a part of a collective group whose function is to serve the Lord, first and foremost. And then secondly, my function is to serve my church family. Jesus others you. That means I'm not at the front of the line. I'm at the end of the line. Am I stepping on your toes yet? We're to be a functional church. Part of being a functional church is meaning that I don't exist for me. I exist for the Lord, to serve the Lord first and foremost, and to serve my church family. That's how God designed it. Moving on. Verses 12 through 27, he talks about the many parts of the body. So let's read that. Verses 12 through 27, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. We share the same Spirit. You see that repetition again. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just the one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? You'd look kind of funny. If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. how strange a body would be if it only had one part. Bunny would just be one arm, just going like this. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all members care for each other. Notice it doesn't say care for yourself, care for each other. If one part suffers, all of the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So all of you together are Christ's body and each of you is a part. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying you are a part of something bigger than yourself. And you are an important part. You realize that? Say it with me. I am an important part. Now, notice it doesn't say that you are the part. It doesn't say everybody exists for you. No, all for one, and that one is not you. Sorry to pop your bubble. Right? But you are a part of something bigger than yourself. You are a part of a community of believers that the Lord has placed in this place for this season, for this time, to make a difference to grow the kingdom of God. And as you're a part of that, you will grow as well. And as you serve, you will continue to grow. You will build connections. You will build relationships. You'll find fulfillment like Michael in our story. When you're a functioning member of the body of Christ, you are an important part. Well, I don't think I'm that important. I just make a meal every now and then for some people from our church who come out of surgery. Yeah, that's an important part. I just serve in kids ministry once a month. Yeah, that's an important part. It's an important part. What you do as a part of the church body, when you contribute, you are playing an important part. All right? Y'all see this wall behind me that we're in the process of getting all ready to go? What you wouldn't see, all you see is the finished product. You didn't see Zach up on a ladder for 8 hours yesterday. Many times just with one arm holding up that entire wall. I'm like, dude, you are strong. But you don't see the behind the scenes. Sometimes you don't see Miss May cleaning up all of the communion. But it's an important part. Because if you don't do your part, it doesn't get done. Sometimes we don't think that we're that important of a part. Well, if I'm gone, nobody will miss me. Oh, if I miss serving in ministry this day, it's fine. No. When one part suffers, the whole part suffers. What it means, we're all connected. There are different depths to that. But very generally speaking, it Paul's meaning that one part affects all the others. When you're not doing your part, it affects everybody. When you're not a part, it leaves a gap, it leaves a hole. Think about what we can accomplish when we all do our part together. But when we withhold our part, then we withhold from what God wants to accomplish through us as a group, collectively, right? The only way it all works together is when we all work together. That's the way that God designed it to work. So here's what you need to understand is functioning church members ask, how can I serve my church? Not should I serve my church? Say it again. Functioning members ask, how can I serve my church? Not should I serve my church? God's called us all to serve. Now, you got to understand, This isn't pastor speaking. Y'all need to sign up for serving in ministry more. That's not this. This is preaching the Word of God. God, the way that He designed His church to function and to operate is when everybody contributes together to serve Him, to serve one another. And guess what happens as you're following your biblical role of being functional in the church by being contributing member, by engaging, by serving in ministry, by being faithful in your giving? What happens is He begins to grow you. And we grow together. That's how God intended. When you come as a country club member and you say it's all about me, you end up like Liam in our story, bitter, resentful, empty. But with God's economy, His upside down economy, when you come to serve Him and serve others, then you leave filled. That's how God made it work. If you're not being fed, ask yourself how much feeding you're doing. Now I step in on toes. Right? If you're not being fed, what is your attitude when you come in? Is your attitude, I want other people to serve me, or that I'm here to serve the Lord? Is your attitude, I'm here to serve what I want and my preferences, or am I here to serve my church family? Because when I do my part, when it's collectively, I come with our church family to lift up the name of the Lord, and I come individually to serve my church family, that's when I get filled up. That's how God designed it to work. If you're empty, hate to tell you, but it probably has more to do with you than where you're at. Now, we're all not perfect. This is not the perfect church. We're all broken. But start with looking at you and looking at your heart. So ask, am I a country club member or a functioning member of the church? Am I a country club member or a functioning member of the church? If you want to be a functioning member, say with me, I will be. A functioning member. I will be a functioning member. Now, we're not called to be just functioning members. We're also called to be unifying members. Not just functioning members, but also unifying members. And Jesus talks about this in general terms in John chapter 13. So John 13, Jesus is meeting with His disciples at the Last Supper, and He knows that He's about to die. He knows that He's about to leave them soon. So whenever somebody knows that they're about to depart and they're giving last words, their last words are intentional. Jesus was intentional in everything that He did. But Jesus is knowing that He's getting ready to leave the disciples behind. He's getting ready to hand the baton to them, to spread the gospel all around the world. And with that in mind, He gives them this strategic message in John 13, 35, 34, 2. Start with verse 34. John 13, 34 and 35. So now I am giving you a new commandment, Jesus said. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus said, how will other people know that you are the church? By how you treat other people of the church. You get that? When you go into the workplace, when you're around family, people know that you're a Christian. They know you're a part of the church family. If all you're doing is complaining about your pastor, all you're doing is complaining about the other members of your church and how they annoy you and how they did this and that, and you're so frustrated that this person said that or did that, or you spread gossip or whatever, what does that tell the world about the church? I bet that church is full of love. I want to be a part of that church. I want to be a follower of Jesus. If that's how you guys treat each other, that's amazing. I want to be at a place where we stab each other in the back and talk bad about each other. You know, game on. That sounds fun. Says nobody. People are watching you. People who don't know Jesus are watching you. They're listening to the words that you speak. They're watching your attitude and how you carry yourself. Are you reflecting Christ through your love? Are you a unifying church member through the words that you speak, through the attitude that you convey? Are you critical? Are you complaining? You get all defensive? You spread gossip? You know, gossip is one of those things that Satan uses to divide the church. What is gossip? Gossip is sharing in the details of other people's problems without being part of the solution. Gossip is sharing in the details of other people's problems without being part of the solution. I say sharing in because if you're sharing other people's problems and you're not part of the solution, you're not trying to help bring a solution, then guess what? You're probably the one gossiping. But sharing in also means that we can be recipients engaging in the gossip if we allow other people to talk about it. We allow other people to talk about others. And we, instead of putting a stop to it, we just listen. There are times, yeah, as Christian brother or sister, we should listen to one another, encourage each other. But if it starts crossing the line to where it's gossip, we're responsible to say, you know what, I don't need that information. Because it's crossing the line of helpful into the line of just a bunch of details that nobody needs to know. Now, should we hold one another accountable? Yes, right? But if I know that Cam is struggling, okay, if I'm wanting to help him, the first thing that I'm going to do, because I love him, I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to talk with him, and I'm going to see how I can care for him. Now, if somebody else is better equipped and it's a man of God that I know and trust, say a Mike West, and I know that Mike has gone through similar struggles, I may go to Mike and say, hey, Mike, I, with Cam's permission, hey, I got another brother who's been through something similar. Can I go to him? Hey, Mike, you have another brother who's going through something similar. Can I connect you with him? I'm going to him trying to help. Now, if I go and I'm like, oh, Mike, let me tell you what Cam doing. Like, Cam is struggling drinking, and I know he gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and first thing he does is he cracks open that beer, and then he goes back to bed, and then he gets up for breakfast, he opens another beer, and then, how is that helpful? And no, that's not his struggle. But am I trying to help the situation, or am I simply hurting their reputation? Okay? You got to check your heart. Am I trying to help? Am I sharing to help or am I sharing to tell? If I'm sharing to tell, then it's like, oh, I just want people to feel sorry for me, or I want to look better than that person. It makes me feel good about myself. I'm not struggling in those areas. Or I know something and I can't keep it a secret. I just have to tell everybody else. This is like hot, juicy rumor stuff. Okay? That's not okay within the church family. If you find yourself going to somebody and you're like, hey, don't tell anybody else but. Or, hey, this is just between you and me. Or, hey, I heard that. Stop yourself because you're probably getting ready to cross the line. And if you're talking with another church family member who begins conversations in that way, stop them before they get started and say, you know what, I don't need to know the details. Maybe you're like, well, I'm just bringing this prayer request. That's good. Bring their name, ask for their permission. Can I put you on the prayer list? But not everybody needs to know all the details. are you trying to help them? If you want to help them, instead of spreading it to everybody else, get in their corner and ask what you can do to help. Instead of trying to pass it along the line. That makes sense. Am I a unifying member of the church family, or am I stirring up dissension? Am I stirring up division? Am I making them feel uncomfortable? Am I making other people feel uncomfortable? Sometimes you're going to feel uncomfortable in church. I might be making you feel uncomfortable today. But check your heart before you speak. If you don't know whether you should say something, you doubt whether you should say it, you probably shouldn't say it. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Use the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Don't let gossip be a part of this church family, because that's not a biblical member. A biblical church member is a functioning church member and a unifying church member. This is not about, hey, let's have our ladies group to where we're just talking about each other. We don't do that here. We shouldn't do that anywhere where we're the body of Christ. So gossip is something that Satan will use to divide the church. One other area that he'll use to divide the church is unforgiveness. If you've ever been hurt in the church, will you wave at me? A lot of you. Some of you have two hands, right? Why is it that the pastor's hands are always two hands? Church members like, I've been hurt in the church. Pastor's like, if I had more hands, I'd hold them up, but I only got two. All right, so pastors are like, you know what? You're in a church full of imperfect people. Hopefully, we're all in this to try to be more like Jesus, right? Our goal is to be more like Jesus, but sometimes we get in the way of that. Sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, I open my mouth when I should keep it shut, right? Or you have a bad attitude that you know you should have kept in check. But we're imperfect people. The question is, what do you do when imperfect church people act imperfectly? Do you show them grace or do you cut them off? That's what we should do. But what do we do? I'll be honest, there's a season in my ministry, even serving here as part of this church, where I was actively looking to not be a pastor anymore. Like, I still want to serve in some sort of servant role that honors the Lord, but you know what? I don't know that I want to do ministry anymore. You know, when we experience hurt, sometimes we're like, I just don't want to do this church anything anymore. I can serve Jesus, but I don't got to go to church. And we're tempted to withdraw, and that's not what God has in mind for his church. Or we're tempted to be like, oh, I got an issue with Brad, so that's why I'm going to sit over here, because I know Brad sits over there. And then maybe I won't have to talk to him because he said something and that just irked me the wrong way. And so, like, I don't want anything to do with him anymore. And I know he's serving in that area of ministry, so I'm not going to serve in that area of ministry. Or he's at that, I'm not going to come to that. And then we separate ourselves, we distance ourselves. Then I start looking at Brad, I'm like, yeah, I become cynical of the things that he does. And I begin to look at every little detail, and I start to get this resentment and bitterness. Brad and I are good, by the way. I think, right? So, if we do that, that is not how God intended his church. What does he call you to do if you have a problem with somebody? Go to them. Don't avoid them. Don't talk bad about them. Go to them. But that's uncomfortable, and I didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't matter. If you have a problem with them, go to them. Not in a bossy, condescending way. In love, in gentleness. I've shared with some of you, I had a Christian brother who had said things, done things over an extended period of time. And they would kind of irk me in the moment, but I never really addressed them. And then what happened is over time, I noticed myself becoming more and more cynical. To where I started becoming a little bit more resentful than any time something else happened, I just added that to the pile. You ever go to the store, you know they have those weighted blankets? You know, like the really heavy blankets? Okay, what unforgiveness does is it's kind of like having that weighted blanket where you're like, oh, I can't move. That's what unforgiveness does. It paralyzes you. It affects you. And guess what Scripture says? When one part is affected, everybody's affected. When you harbor resentment, when you have unforgiveness, it doesn't just affect you. Guess what? It affects how you serve the Lord. It affects how you serve your church family. That's why the Lord tells us to go to each other, to get it right. I tell you what, when I finally talked with that person, I had an opportunity to share with them how what they had said and what they had done impacted me, how it affected me. I tell you, first and foremost, they had no idea. You realize? Somebody just in their humanness may say or do something they don't even realize they said or did something to offend you. How are they going to know unless you tell them? They may have no issue with you at all, but you carry around a weight for years because you never talked to them over something silly that they said that they had no wrong intention. But the person I approached had no idea. And then when I talked to them, I was able to forgive them. And then it's like I was no longer under a weighted blanket. I had freedom. It was like this big burden was lifted off of my shoulders. And you know what happened to my relationship with that person? Restoration. And we became closer after that than we had ever been before that. See what Satan robs you of if you don't forgive. See what he robs you of. And it doesn't only impact you. Again, it impacts your relationship with the Lord. It impacts how you serve your church family. Satan wins when you harbor resentment and unforgiveness. Don't let Satan win. If you're going to be a unifying member of the church, you gotta be able to forgive. You gotta be able to forgive. See, unifying church members build up and move on. Unifying church members build up. I'm building up my church family with my words. I'm speaking life. I'm speaking encouragement. I'm zipping the lip when I'm tempted to gossip. When I'm tempted to complain, I zip the lip and I keep it inside and I give it to the Lord and I say, you know what, this ain't my preference, but you know what, I'm not here for me anyway. Right? So a unifying member of the church builds up. Are you building up your church family with your words? Are you building up your pastor? Are you building up your elders? A unifying church member builds up and moves on. What I mean by moving on is I don't hold on to that bitterness, resentment, because when I hold on, then Satan wins. But I'm not called to hold on, I'm called to move on. Now, I give this advice, and this is something that I've experienced in my life. How do you know when to go to somebody? Well, if they say something or do something, maybe it kind of irks you for a little bit. Okay? Sometimes it's better, you know, it's just better to walk away and zip your mouth and Otherwise, you're going to say you're doing something you shouldn't. Give yourself, I say, 24 hours, 48 hours. Give the situation a time to die down. If you forget about it after 24, 48 hours, then you know what? Sometimes it's just bite your pride or they're just being human. Move on. Let's not make a big deal. But if you continue to stew over that thing, it causes you to lose sleep. It causes you to avoid that person or look at that person differently. Then that is your sign that you need to go talk to them. If you don't talk to them, guess what? They are not the only divisive member. You are. You understand that? When we have an issue with somebody, maybe it's not something that we've done. Maybe it's something that they've done. If we have an issue with somebody and we know that we need to do something to bring back unity or restoration of that relationship, we're not doing our part, then we're contributing to being a divisive part. Just like when you're just on the listening end of gossip, you may not be the one gossiping, but if you're in listening, engaging, then you become a part of that as well. Are you a unifying member of the church family? Are you a divisive member? Am I making the church better or am I making the church more divisive? You want to be a unifying member? Will you say, I will be a unifying member? Teresa, will you come? The Lord wants us to be functioning members of the church. To be a functioning member of the church means that I come in not with me on the mind first, but I come as a collective group that comes to serve the Lord. All for one, and then each of us individually to serve one another, one for all. If part of serving one another is I'm going to take the gifts and abilities that God has given me to bless our church family. I'm going to make hot chocolate for the church family. That's Emily's game. That's not mine. But how can you be a functioning member of the church? How can you contribute? How can you engage to honor the Lord and to build up your church family? And are you a unifying member of the church family? The words that you speak, are they building up or are they tearing down? With your attitude, are you moving on or are you holding on? Because he wants us to move on. He wants us to forgive. You're here this morning and the Lord is speaking to you regarding one of those areas. Will you just make an altar at your seat? Will you allow the Lord to speak to you? And will you just lay those things down at the Lord? Lay them down at the Lord's feet. Say, Lord, I want to be a functioning member. I want to be a unifying member. Help me to be the biblical member of the church family. To do what you called me to do. To be who you called me to be. To have the attitude you want me to have. Help me to be a functioning member. A unifying one. We take just a moment, take that time alone with the Lord, just bare your heart to him. Allow him to work in you, to move in you. Lord, show me if I'm here for me or if you have something beyond me that you want me to be a part of. Well, what does that look like? Lord, if I'm not contributing to blessing the church and helping the church, then Lord, convict me and help me to be better. Lord, have your way in us. Maybe you're here today, you're not a part of the church family. The biggest thing, first and foremost, is for you to be a part of the church family, capital C Church. For you to know and serve and love Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins and rose again so you could be forgiven of all your sins and made right with God. You can enter into that relationship by placing your faith in him, by believing in him, by turning away from your sins and following Jesus with your life. If you're here today and you would like to make that decision to go all in with Jesus, whether you're watching online or here today, will you simply raise your hand? Or will you send your own words, tell the Lord, Lord, have my heart. Lord, have my heart. And after you made that decision, it's so important to be connected with the church family. And as you come to be a functioning and a unifying member of the church family, you're coming to honor the Lord and serve your church family, then God is going to begin to work in you and to grow you and to shape you and to mold you into the child of God He's called you to be. Be the biblical church member, a functional one and a unifying one. Church family, will you stand? I'm going to ask Pastor Zeph if he would come, close us in prayer. Cross family, I love you. I thank God for you. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts because of your faith. I pray that your lives will be strong in love and be built on love. I pray that you will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love is. So with the wisdom of God the Father, the love of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, let's go change the world. And it starts by loving each other. Amen.